We begin the current daf of this tainus daf chafeh. We begin on the bottom line of daf chaf dalma beis, where the Gemara continues discussing the greatness of Reb Chanina ben Daisim. So the Gemara tells us, "Havergila de beisu lamechma tanura." His wife would generally go ahead and heat up the oven kol malid shabata every Friday afternoon. V'shadyak tarta, and she would throw in something into the oven that would make smoke, produce smoke. And the reason is, as we continue on top of chafeh manav, shemikisufa, because she was embarrassed. And that's because all her neighbors were baking bread in honor of Shabbos, but she had nothing to bake, and therefore it would be embarrassing. So she would just put in something that would make some smoke to make it look like she's also baking bread. She had this bad neighbor, who Amr, she said, wait a second, Mechti, let's see. We know that this family, they have nothing, they have no food. My coolie, hi, what's this thing? She's always going ahead and heating up the oven and the smoke coming out. So Hazla Batarfa Baba, she went to knock on the door to expose finally this wife of Chanina ben Daisa. Sechsefa. So the wife of Chanina ben Daisa was embarrassed. Violet Landerner, so she went into the inner chamber that she shouldn't see her friend exposing her. Isabela Nisa, however, a miracle occurred for her. The Chazla Tanura Malalachma, that it appeared the entire oven was full with bread. The Agna, and the bowl that was where they need the dough, was Malalisha, was full of dough. So Amr La, so the neighbor said to the wife of Reb Chanina ben Daisa, Planisa, Planisa, she was screaming for her to come, Mrs., I see Masa, bring the shovel that's used to take the bread out of the oven to Kacharach Lachmach, because your bread is burning. So Amr La, so the wife responded to her, Afana Lahochi Aile, yes, that's why I went. The reason why you didn't see me here was because I went to go get the shovel to bring out to take the bread down. So actually, Tanam Lenna Braisam, that's actually why she went. She didn't just go because she was embarrassed. She actually went to get the shovel to take it down, because she was accustomed for miracles occurring to her. And that is because although generally she wouldn't go ahead and do that, but because of the circumstances that the person was coming, she knew that a miracle would happen to her, and therefore she actually was getting a shovel to take the bread out of the oven. Now, Amala de Besu, so the wife of Chanina ben Daisa said to her husband, how long are we going to be able to live in such dire poverty and be in so much pain? So Amalah, he said to his wife, my Navid, what should we do? Go ahead and daven that they should give you something from heaven. So Bayrachmin, he daven, Yatzitza kemin pisis yat. So it came out from heaven like the image of the palm of a hand. And it was given one leg of a golden table. Now Chazar B'chama, they saw in the dream that atiri tzadiki da achli absurde da haba de isli tlaskari, that the wealthy, the righteous people were eating on a golden table of three legs. Vara achalas absurde trekari, but you're going to be eating on a table with two legs. So Amalei, so she said to him, nichalach de mechel akole kule alma absurde mishlam, are you going to be happy that everybody there is going to be eating on a full table? We're going to be eating on the table that's lacking. We're going to be missing one leg. So she said to him, my Navid, so what should we do? So daven that they should take it back from you. So daven, and they went and took the leg back, which was the leg that was taken from their table from the world to come. And that is what everyone eats here, one is taking away from the schar, the reward that's being saved of that world. So we learn the braisa. Gadol hayenes achron yisman arishon. The later miracle that the table, the leg was taken back, was greater than the first miracle that the leg was given to them in the first place. Because the Gemara, we have a tradition, Dimehav Yahavi, things can be given from Shemaim to people here, but Mishkol Ishakli don't take things back. That was a greater miracle for Chanina ben Daisa that they even took it back. The Gemara continues telling us that Chad Beis Shimshi, one twilight, which Rashi says generally when it says that terminology, it's a reference to Erev Shabbos, Chazi Labarti Dehavas Atzivei, saw his daughter that was very sad. Amalah, he said to her, Biti Lamaya Tzivis, my daughter, why are you so sad? So Amalah, she said to him, Kli Shel Chaymitz, Nischalef Li B'Kli Shel Shemen. I mixed up, when I was coming to light the candles for Shabbos, I mixed up the vessel that had the oil in it with the one that had the vinegar in it. V'edlakti Mimena Ur L'Shabbos, and lighting, I lit the Shabbos candles with vinegar. So Amalah, he said to her, Biti Ma'ech Peslach, what does that bother you? Mishama L'Shemen B'Yadlik, he, in reference to Hashem, is the one that tells oil to light. He'll tell that the vinegar should light. Tanu learned the braisa. The vinegar candles lit the entire day of Shabbos. At Shevi, Mimena or Lavdola, until they actually went to bring another candle to light from that one for Havdalah. Now Rashi says the reason why they got another candle was because since that first candle was Mais and Nisim, it was a miracle that vinegar was lighting the same as oil. And as we had learned in Daf Havdalah Mabez, that one should generally try to stay away from getting pleasure from something that a miracle was done for it. And therefore, they went to get another candle to light it from that. But me that as it may, we see that how great the miracle was that it lasted the entire Shabbos all the way till Havdalah. Gemara continues telling us about the Bechanina ben Daisa, Havale Hanach Izi. He had these goats. Amrulei, so the neighbors told him, Kamafsedan, you're ruining our fields. You have these goats and they're eating away at our crop. So Amar, he said, Ikamafsedan, if it's really true that they're ruining the fields, Nachlinu Duvi, let bears come and eat them up. Viloi, but if it's not true, then Kalchada Vachada Tasi Laurta Duvi Bekarnayo. And each one of these goats is going to come in the evening with a beer on their horns. Laurta in the evening. Each one of the goats came back with a beer on their horns. Now Havalei Hahi Shivata, he had a certain neighbor, Tkobanya Besa, that she was building a house for the Matikashuri, and the beams didn't reach from wall to wall, meaning they were too short to make it across. So she came to him. Amrle, she said to him, look, Benisi Besa, I built my house. But my beams are not making it to the end of the wall. So Amalei, he said to her, Mashmech, what's your name? So Amalei, she said to him, Aiku. So Amar, he said, Aiku, Nimtu Kesharayach, that your beams should become longer. So Tanur learned the Braisa. Higiu, they reached the other end of the wall. Achi Yatsu Amalekan Vamakan, that even got, even had excess of an Ama on either side. The Yeshamina, those that say a different version, that Snif Masum, that it made an extension. That is, the beams were made out of different pieces and parts, and through a miracle, they were connector pieces that went and extended it, and that's how it made it to the other end of the wall. Tanya learned the Bryce actually, Plima Aimer, Plima says, Aniri Isi, I saw Abayas, I saw that house, but he Kareis of Yates Amalekan Vamalekan, and it had it was extended beyond the walls of Am on either side. Vamrali, and the people told me, this is the house that Reb Chanina ben Daisa covered it with the beams together with the strength of his prayer. Now the Gemara asks on the incident that we mentioned before regarding the goats. Reb Chanina ben Daisa, mehechen havleizim, from where do you have goats from? As we illustrated with the previous stories, he was very poor. But the Chacham tell us that that's forbidden actually to have small livestock in Eretz Yisrael, which that includes the goats. So Rabbeinu explains actually that it wasn't his own goats. Ma'isav avar adam echad al Pesach Beis. It once happened that a person was passing by, and it was in front of the house of Rabbeinu ben Daisa. V'nech sham tana gailim, and he left his chickens over there. U'metzasen ishtesh Rabbeinu ben Daisa, and the wife of Rabbeinu ben Daisa found them. V'amalah, and he told her, al toichem yibitzein, don't eat from their eggs. It's not ours. It's avedah, someone's lost object. However, the eggs multiplied and the chickens multiplied. So they were watching the Aveda to be able to do Hashavas Aveda, but then it was bothering them. So they sold them and purchased with those monies goats. Now, Pamachas Avar Isa Adam Shavdim Mimena Tanagalim. Once happened that that same person who had originally lost the chickens came and he was passing by. And he told his friend, you know what? I remember that once I left chickens over here. Shamam Chanina, Chanina heard. Amalei said to him, "Yesh lecha ben Simon? Do you have a sign?" Amalei had, and he said, "Yes." Nasnei Simon, menot lezi izin. So he gave the Simon, and instead of just getting chickens back, he got all these goats. Behein hein izi da aisu duvi bekarnayim. These are the same goats that brought the beers on their horns, and of course he wouldn't keep goats because it's forbidden. But for the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, that's why he had these goats. Now the Gemara continues with a different Talmud Chacham, also regarding the great poverty. Relaza ben Pedas, and this is, he was an Amira who was always called the leading halachic authority in Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara tells him, Masechtas Nida, and he served Rabbi Yochanan after the death of Rish Lakish, and he was very poor. So the Chikilei Milsa Tuva was really pressing him, his financial situation. Oven Milsa, he once let blood, but Lehavale Midal Mitzvah, he didn't even have anything to eat, which was necessary after letting blood to get your strength back. So Shakal Barad Tuma, he went and he ate, which literally means the son of a garlic, which means to say that he ate a clove of, he took a clove of garlic, v'shadya b'pume, and he put it into his mouth, chalash libe. So he became weak, he fainted, v'nim, and he fell asleep. Also Rabban l'shriu libe, so the Rabban went to inquire about him. Chazu de kabachi v'chayach, they saw that he was crying and laughing, v'nafik tzutzitza denoy rebema puse, and they saw that a spark of light was shining forth from his forehead. Now Kiyisa, when he came to, Amrele, they said to him, my time of kabachas v'chayachas. Why was it when you fainted that you were crying and you were laughing? So Amrele, he said to them, Dabi Yasav imi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting with me. V'amrele, and they said to him, Ad Masai Tzitar B'Hai Alma, how long am I going to be in pain in this world? V'amrele, and he said to me, Elazar B'ni, my son Elazar, Nichalach Da'afchech La'alma Meresha, do you want me to turn over the world to start over from the beginning? And then Efshad de Messiah Allah did Bashah Asad de Mizaini, and then maybe then you'll be born at a time of prosperity, of time of sustenance. So Amalek Hamez, Allah said, I said to Hashem, Kule Haive Efshad, meaning you're going to go ahead and do that much to turn over the world and start from the beginning, and still it's a doubt that maybe I'm not going to be born in a time of Mizainus? Either way, Amalek says, I said to Hashem, the Chayet Tvei or the Chayana, the days of my life, were the majority of them already passed, or do I have the majority of my days still to look forward to? So Amalei D'chayas, he says, you already live the majority of your days already that you're going to live. And that's why, as Rashi says, why the first part he cried, because that means obviously he doesn't have that many years left, he lived the majority of years already. Now the fact that he laughed, as the Gemara is going to illustrate, that's when he was told for the great reward that he's getting. So Amalei Kamei, so Rebbe said to Hashem, Imkein Laibina. If that's the case, I've already passed most of my years already, and therefore then I don't need for the world to be destroyed, to start over again, that I can be born in the time of sustenance. So Amalei, Hashem said to me, Bahai Agri de Amrit Lei Be'ina, for that reward that you said that you don't need it, and you'll deal with your lot, Yehaven Alach La'amadas, I'm going to give you in the world to come, Tlesri Naharvasa Demashcha Farsamat, 13 rivers of balsam oil, Dachin Kepars Vedigalas, that's pure, like the Euphrates and the Tigris, the Manan Kibun, that you can go ahead and derive pleasure from it. So Amrili Kameh, I said to Hashem, Hai Besuloi, that and that's it, not more than that, you can't give me anything else. So Amrili, so Hashem said to me, B'lachavach Mayehivna, what am I going to give your friends? I can't give you everything. So Amrili, so I said to Hashem, No, V'anome Gavr de Lesle Bina, I want from someone that's not getting, give me his portion. So Machian Ba'as Kutla. So he went and flicked me. That's literally when you take the finger and you go ahead and you move your fingernail against the thumb and you flick it. He went and flicked me up on my forehead. And that's as Rashi says, that's where he got that tutsia, that spark coming out of his forehead because of that touch, that flick from Hashem. Vamali, and he said to me, Elazar Bari, my son Elazar, Girai Bach Girai, I have shot you with my arrows. In other words, it was a joking type of a way from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was saying that, you know, you're giving that wise crack regarding that you want to have the other person's share, and that was the flick, and that's why he first cried, because he lived the majority of his days, and he laughed because of the great reward he's going to get, and that's where the spark was coming out, kibayachal, so to speak, as if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the flick on the forehead. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion from the previous Dafim, talking about different incidents regarding tzaddikim, tamid chachamim, that had made taneisim fast. So Rabbi Chama bar Chanina gazed taneisim. He decreed a fast, v'lo yaseh mitra, and it didn't rain. So Amrle, they said to him, but v'hari b'shu ben Levi gazed taneisim v'aseh mitra. B'shu ben Levi, he decreed a fast, and it did rain. So Amrle, he said to them, ha, no, this is me, ha bar Levi, that's bar Levi, that's b'shu ben Levi, he's a person, I'm someone else. And you're right, he's better than me. So Imrle Dinesi says, tell the people to come together. Now let's all focus. Maybe the public will have a broken heart. Maybe with that together, the concerted effort, we'll be able to bring the rain. However, they all davened, they beseeched mercy, and it didn't rain. He said to the people, is it willing for you that the rain should come because of us? In other words, are you willing to accept upon you that we should all have this concerted effort together? They said to him, Hen, yes. So Amar, he said, Rikia, Rikia, that the sky is the skies. Kasa benecha, cover your face. In other words, let the clouds come to cover that it should rain. Lo yichsi, didn't cover. So Amar, he said, Kama azin pene Rikia, how brazen is the face of the sky that it doesn't cover itself from the public. You should be embarrassed, and that's what covering is, when someone is a little embarrassed, and that's covering with the clouds, and how brazen you are that you're not embarrassed from the whole tzibur coming. So then it covered itself and the rain came. Levi gazer tanisa v'lasa mitra. Levi decreed a fast and it didn't rain. Some lefanav, he said in front of Hashem, Rabbi Nishalem, master of the world, alisa v'yashavti b'marm, you went up and sat yourself up on top, v'enata merachem abanacha, and you don't have mercy on your sons. Asa mitra v'idla. So the rain came, but it became lame because of that. So Amr Balazi says, La'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klapim ma'ala. A person should never throw harsh words up towards heaven. Shayr adam gadol yatiach dvarim klapim ma'ala ve'idla. Because he was a great person, that he spoke in such a way, and it became lame. Uman then, who is that? That's Levi, as we just brought. And that the Gemara asked, V'hagar malay? Is it really true that that's what caused him to become lame? But V'halevi ach v'kida kameh derebi. We know that Levi demonstrated kida in front of Rebbe, which is a type of bowing down, which is someone stands up and he bows half of his body from his waist upward down towards the ground, and he sticks his two thumbs into the ground and he kisses the floor again with having his feet up and his back overwards, v'idla, and that caused him to become lame because of the great strain that is put onto the person's back when you have to get up without any support. That caused him to become lame, and not because he spoke disparagingly towards heaven. Now the Gemara answers, Havaha Garmalay. Actually, both of them caused him to become lame. In other words, the sin made him vulnerable, that then when he demonstrated the Kida, that caused him in the time of Sakana to become lame. He heard the clouds speaking to each other, which said, let's go ahead and bring the water, the rain, to Amon Amoyev. So Amor Lefanav, he said to in front of Hashem, Rabbi Nishalam, master of the world, when you came to give the Torah to your Jewish people, you went to all the nations of the world, and they didn't accept the Torah. Now you're giving them rain? Bring it here in Eretz Yisrael. And it was thrown down, the rain, in its place. Again from the same Amira, Darsh Reb Chiya Bar Loloni says, what does it mean a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Tzadik katama yifrach, that the righteous person will blossom like the date palm, keres bavan in yiska, and like the cedar in Lebanon he will grow. So imnai mitamar, if it compares it to the tzadik, the righteous person, to date palm, so lama ma'aris, so why does it say like a cedar? Vimnama aris, if it says like a cedar, lama ma'tamar, why does it have to compare it to the date palm? So that he answers, Ilu nema tama v'loy nema eres, had it only compared the tzaddik, the righteous person, to the date palm and not to the cedar. So yisem, I would say, that ma tama, just like the date palm, we continue to amud beis, in gizli machlev, that if it gets cut, the tree trunk of the date palm, it doesn't regenerate. So av tzaddik, so to the righteous person, will not have any remembrance, and that is chas v'shalom in gizli machlev, that chas v'shalom, that his trunk will not regenerate. In other words, when he's chopped down, when he dies, he will not regenerate. He will not have tchias amesim. L'kach nema'erez, that's why it says, the cedar, that it does regenerate. And ilu nema'erez, ulu nema'tama, had it only said that we compare him to the cedar and not to the date palm. So yisema, then I would say, ma'erez enoisaperez, just like the cedar, that it doesn't make any fruits. Av tzadik chatav shalom enoisaperez. So too, God forbid that it would compare the righteous to say that he also doesn't make produce, which that would mean that he doesn't get any schar, reward, which that's the paris of the action that a person does in the future. That's why he says both a date palm and a cedar. One is to tell you that he does regenerate, he will have tchias amesim like the eres, and one is that he creates paris like the tamar, like the date palm, that he will have schar, la'asa loving. Now the Gemara asks on this interpretation, that the eres gizim machlev, is it really true? And that's why it says eres, because the cedar, if it gets cut off, then the trunk regenerates. But Vatani learned the brice regarding purchasing different types of trees, that it tells us, halakech ilon mechaver lakets. If someone purchases a tree from his friend, to cut it down, to be able to use the wood from that tree. So magbiyay min hakarka tevach v'kaitzah. So you have to elevate the point of where you're chopping down, at least a tefach from the ground, and then you could cut it off. Besadin hashikma, regarding the sycamore trunk, where we're talking about specifically where it's already been older, that it's been chopped down once before, and therefore it becomes thicker, then shnei tvachim. That has to at least give an elevation point of two tvachim, and not as much as we're going to see for the one that was never cut down, because since it was already cut down and already regenerated, it doesn't need that much more than two tefachim. Whereas bepsulas hashikma, however, regarding the virgin sycamore trunk, in other words, that it was never chopped down yet, that requires shlesha tefachim. That needs at least three tefachim, because or else it will not regenerate. Now, bekanam or bekfanam, regarding reeds and with grapevines, that's minap kak, that's from the lowest knot, ulamala, and that point and onward, that's the lowest point you can cut it from. Bedukalim, regarding date palms, ubarazim, and cedars, chayfulamato mashish, you could even dig down and uproot it totally. And the reason is, lefisha ingiza machlet, because the trunk does not regenerate. In other words, all the other cases we were saying is that yes, he's selling you the wood from the tree, but he wants to be able to have it regrow, so you have to leave it a certain amount that it could regenerate. But regarding date palms, as we had explained regarding tamar, but moreover regarding the eras, the cedar, they don't regenerate, and therefore you could just uproot, you could take the whole thing. So therefore we see a contradiction to what he had said, that regarding the eras, that it regenerates, and that's why we compare it tzaddik to eras. But the Gemara answers, it's not a contradiction. Here we're talking about the other types of the cedars, and that is kedrab arhuna. Dama Rabbi Barhuna, he tells us, Asar mina razimheim. There are 10 types of cedar trees. Shnema, like it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya, Etim b'midbar, will place in the desert, Erez, a cedar, Shita, Behadas, Begaimer, etc., which the Pasuk says 7, and then the Gemara elsewhere explains another 3, that it has many different types. And therefore, yes, there's a type of Erez that the Pasuk is alluding to, tzaddik's like, that the gizli, the trunk, does regenerate. And here, when we're saying that you could uproot the eras, it's talking about the other types of erasim, that they do not regenerate, and therefore you could totally uproot it, because it's not going to regrow anyway. Tarabon, we learned the braisim. Maisa b'Rebeliezer, there was an incident with Rebeliezer ben Hurkinus, Shagaza shleish esrei tanias al atzibah, that he decreed 13 fasts on the public, and that is, as we had explained, daf yud beis mabeis, that's how the order, there's 3 fasts, another 3 fasts, and then there is 7 fasts, so there's a total of 13 fasts. And the whole season of fast went by, and the rain didn't come. So but when the last ones were over, so the public started leaving from the shul. So he said to them, did you prepare graves for yourselves? In other words, where are you going? The hunger is still there, and we finish our fast, and there's no rain coming. So go kolam b'chia b'yard d'gesham. So then the people realized what's going on. We finished all the fast, and then it started raining. They broke out crying, and then the rain came. And that's what he had done to instigate the real tears that were coming, because the realization, not just the fast and all the procedures, that came from the depths of the heart, and then the rain came. Shuv Ma'is Reb Eliezer was another answer Reb Eliezer. Shiar Lefnei HaTeva, he went to daven for the Amid. V'ama Esrim V'arba Brachas V'leinan. He said the 24 brachas that are said by a fast day, and he wasn't answered. Yard Reb Akiva Achra V'amad. Then after him, Akiva went up to daven for the Amid, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, we don't have any king but you. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. For your sake, have mercy on us. And the rain came down. So the Rabbanan started talking and whispering, saying that, look what's going on. However, a heavenly voice came out and said, it's not because Rabbi Kiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer that only was answered by Rabbi Kiva and not Rabbi Eliezer. El Shazam Mavral Midaisav, Rabbi Kiva is Mavral Midaisav, mean to say that he goes beyond his character and his midas, his character traits, and he goes beyond that, and he does more than what that is. Vizain Mavral Midaisav, Rabbi Lezer, he's a purely righteous person, but he's not Mavral Midaisav, he goes past his midas, and whatever is right is right. Whereas Rabbi Kiva goes beyond that, and therefore he was answered in his tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu. Turn around and learn the braisa. How much does it have to be that the rain should come down, and then the public can stop their fast? That is, as we had learned, it said, it says, if these fasts passed by and they weren't answered, then bezin make more tanisim, but if they were answered, they don't have to fast anymore. Now, Rashi clarifies that this halacha that the Gemara is asking is only by the tzibur, by the public. But an individual that's fasting, for example, let's say if someone's ill and the person became well, or a person's going through a certain sara, and that passed already, he has to fast and complete the fast, as the Gemara said in the Yerim Beis. But anyway, the Gemara is asking regarding the tzibur, how much does it have to rain that they can realize that the hunger, the drought, has passed, and they don't have to fast anymore. So that the first opinion says, Kamlei Berech HaMachri Shadiv Remeir. Remeir says that if it rained that much to the depths of the ground, which is the measurement of how much the depth of the plowing makes in the ground, that's how much rain is necessary for us to have to stop fasting. And the term berech is the blade, a certain part of the vessel that they plow with, that it digs into the ground when they're plowing. If that gets filled up with water, then that's a sign that one doesn't have to fast anymore. The Chacham say, it depends what type of ground it is. Bechareva, by totally dry ground, then tefach. In other words, if the dry ground has, that it got saturated with a tefach of rain, that must be a lot of rain has come down, because since it was so dry, if a tefach of it has that wetness, it must be that enough rain. Bebeinus, if we're talking about medium grade of the dryness of the land, then tefachayim has to be two tefachim of water. Ba'avuda, if we're talking about that it was already worked, it was already plowed well, this field, then you have to have a lot of rain. That would have to be shlesha tefachim, three tefachim, because even when you have a little bit of rain, it already gathers a tefach or two tefachim of water, because since it's already well plowed, and therefore it accumulates the water very quickly, that's why it would have to be three tefachim. Tanya learned the b'raisa. Pshimin Laza Aymeri says, Ein lecha tefach malmala, then you don't have that it shouldn't rain a tefach from above, that it will gather into the depth of the ground, a depth of a tefach, that then the depths will not match it with three tefachim of water. And that is, although the proximity of the ground to the depths of the water is 1,000 amas, still there's a certain moisture that's coming that once it comes up three tefachim will help and help that area of the ground that's above it. So although it's still very far, but that even coming up three tefachim when it comes a tefach from above will help the moisture up above. Now on that the Gemara asks, but Vatanya learned in the Braisa, that the depth actually comes out tefachayim, comes up two tefachim, not three tefachim. So that the Gemara says loy kasha. It's not a difficulty, and this is similar to what the Gemara had just said previously regarding what type of grade the ground is. Kan, when we said that the tahayim, the water that's in the depths of the ground, that comes up only two tefachim, that's from abavuda, when the earth up on top has already been plowed, and that is that even though the water has saturated for a tefach in the ground, that means that very little water has come in because it's already well plowed, and for that it's not going to come up three tefachim. For that it only comes up two tefachim. Whereas kan b'shein avuda, when did we say that if it's totally dry the land, if it's not plowed, then if it gets saturated with a tefach, that means it must have rained a lot for it to get saturated for a tefach, and therefore if it's raining a lot, so it matches from below, that it also comes out more than two tefachim. It comes out three tefachim. Amar Belazar says, when they do the libations of the water on the Yom Tov Sukkos, the depth tells its counterpart, its friend, Ava Meimecha, bring forth your water. Ava is like from the world of Nachal Neveh, of the streaming water. He says to him, bring forth your water. He says, because I hear the sound of our two friends. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, Tahayim el Tahayim Kahayre. The depth talks to the depth, and that is the two waters that when Hashem made the world, He separated the waters above and the waters below. So you have the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim, each one is calling out to the other, that L'kol Tzinerecha V'Gomer, to the voice, to the sounds of your channels, and that is a reference to the two basins, that the two Safalim that there are in the Mizbech, that they pour the Yayin, there's a Nesach HaYayin, and is the Nesach HaMayim, the two different libations. Those are the sounds of the two friends I hear coming through the Tzinayrais, and that's why each one is calling out, bring forth your water, because our friends are coming, and that's what we do. We're Mespal on the Mayim, and that causes them to bring forth their water. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, V'didi chazili hai Ridya. I saw this angel that's in charge of the rain, and his name was Ridya, Dami la'egla, and he looks like a calf, who pierces sefase and his lips are parted, and he stands between the upper time and the lower time, in other words, between the sky and the oceans, where it seems that the earth kisses the sky, that's where this malach, Ridya, who looks like a calf, stands. Now, l'tahayim ila, to the upper time, meaning to the upper waters, amale, he says, chashay mimecha, pour forth your water that's here on the earth. And to the lower waters, he says, Ava Meimecha, bring forth your water that's below the ground. Shnim, like it says a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Hanitzanim, the blossoms, niru v'aretz, are seen on the earth. Now the pasuk there ends and says, Isa zamer higia, the time of song has come. And the sound of the tar is heard in our land. Now the interpretation that the Gemara is giving on this is that when they do the pouring of the water libations on Sukkot, where the nisoichin are visible on the earth because they only come once a year on Sukkot, meaning like the blossoms that come out only once a year, so at that time when the nitzanim, when the libations are seen on the earth, then it's Es HaZamer Higia. That means to say that it's the time for singing the songs on Sukkot. And then the Koil HaTar, the sound of the tar, where that's Aramaic, is for sure, the sound of the ox is heard. That is because when they do the Nisach HaMayim on the Yom Tov Sukkot, that's when he says his thing to the Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtonim, and that's why it starts the waters to come forth from above and below. That's because, again, as we said, that this Malach looks like a Shur. So the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if, let's say, they were fasting, but it started raining before the sun came out in the morning, then the Mishnah told us that you don't have to complete the fast. Rav's opinion was, actually, if it started raining before Chatzais, before noon, for that itself, you don't have to complete the fast. So, Taman, we learn the Braisa, the different opinions regarding this halacha. If, let's say, they were fasting, and it started raining before the sun came out, so then lo yashlimu, then they don't have to complete their fast, and that's because the fast never really started, because the rain was given before it started in Netz. La'acha Netzacham, if it only started raining after sun came out in the morning, then yashlimu, then they have to complete the fast. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Behuda, he says, Kaidim Chatzais, before noon. And the reason is because noontime is the time of when people eat their meal. So then if it rained before that, then lo yashlimu, they don't have to complete it, because that means essentially your fast didn't start, because you didn't really eat any time anyway. If it only started raining after noon, then you have to complete it, because from noon and onward, the tainus by default started already, since you didn't eat your suda by noontime, and therefore then you would have to complete it. He says the latest there. He says, Kedem Tesha, if it rained before 9 hours into the day, which means to say on the perfect day, on the equinox, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 9 hours would be at 3 p.m., If it rained before then lo yishlimu, they don't have to complete it. But la'achar tashayis, if it only started raining after 9 hours into the day, then yishlimu, then you have to go ahead and complete it. Shekem etzina ba'achav melech Yisrael, because this is what we find by Achav, the king of the Jewish people, she'es'ana mitesh ha'shoas ha'lamala, that he fasted from 9 hours into the day. And what Rabbi Yehuda is trying to illustrate is because that is the latest time you can go to say that the tainus is starting, because there's nobody that their tainus didn't start that when it's already 3 p.m. But there are people, and that's why he says if it rained before 3 p.m., you don't have to complete it, is because we find by kings that they only eat their first meal at 3 p.m. And the reason is because, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that they first sleep 3 hours into the day, then they wait 6 hours until they eat. As the Gemara tells them, Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kaf Zayin Beis, regarding the halacha of not eating on Erev Pesach, to have an appetite, that even at Kripas HaMelech, that usually used to eat 9 hours into the day, he shouldn't eat until it gets dark. But however, one thing we see is that the tainus would only be starting, at least the latest that it could be, who are for kings, is from 9 hours into the day. Shnem, like it says in Pasuk Melachim Aleph, it says, Hashem said, Hara'isa, did you see, ki nichna Achav v'gayma, that Achav has humbled himself, and that is in front of me, Hashem says. And Achav's tainus only started 9 hours into the day. But before that, he had no intention to fast. It's just that Eliyahu HaNavi had come that day, regarding that he had entered Kerem Nevois HaIsraeli, and he told them all the different things, and he commanded him, and therefore he ended up fasting. But again, his fast only started 9 hours into the day, and the Rabbi's opinion is, if it rained before that, then no one has to complete their fast. Behuda Nesiah Gaza Tanisa. Behuda Nesiah, who is not Rabbi Nasi, is a grandson, he decreed a fast. And it started raining after Netz. So Sabal Ashlemina, he thought to complete the fast because it was after Netz already. Amalei Reb Ami, Reb Ami told him, no, Koidim Chatzais V'Achar Chatzais. And we learned that the halacha is, if it's before Chatzais or after, and since here it's before noon, they don't have to complete the fast. Shmuel HaKotan Gaza Tanisa. He decreed a fast. And it started raining before Netz. So the people thought to say, this must be the praise of the people that they didn't call out yet, and they already answered from Hashem, must be that we are on a certain level of righteousness. Some of them, he said to them, he says, look, I'll tell you a parable of what this could be compared to. You have a servant that's begging, that's asking his master for a piece to eat. Amalam, he said to them, just give him, I don't want to hear him. And therefore he was trying to say that it's not because of your righteousness that Hashem answers. He said, I don't want to hear their tefillahs. I don't want to hear your fast. Just give him the rain. It was another time that he decreed a fast. And it only ended up raining after the whole entire day of the fast, after the sunset. Again, the people thought to say, it's the praise of the people, that Hashem wanted to hear the tefillahs, and only after he heard the tefillahs, the tefillahs of the Jewish people, then he brought the rain. Sometimes Shmuel told them, again the other way. This is not the praise of the people. Rather, I'll give you a parable what this could be compared to. To a servant that's asking for a piece of food to eat from his master. And he tells his people, let him wait until he really grovels, until he really gets in pain, and then give him. And that's the same thing over here also, where Hashem waited for you to be in pain, and you suffered, and you fasted, and then, okay, let him have his peace. Now the Gemara asks, well, the Shmuel HaKatan, so according to him, when do you ever have, according to his protocol, that it'll be praiseworthy of the people? Because if it rained before, he said it wasn't. If it rained afterwards, he said it wasn't. So Amar, he says, Mashavarach, if a person says those words, that Hashem brings forth the winds, the Nashav Zika, and the winds come, and Amen Mari the Geshem, then he says the words that the rain should come down, Vasim Mitra, and then the rain comes down, that's the Shvach of the Tzibah. That shows that Hashem really listens to the people, but not if it comes before or if it comes after. Now our Mishnah told us that Ma'isav Agar Zatainis Balud, that there was an incident where they had decreed a fast in Lud, and this was regarding Halacha, if it was before Chatzais or after Chatzais, that then it was beforehand, and therefore they didn't complete the fast, they ate, and then they said Hal. Now, they made it into Yom Tov because of the great Simcha, and they said Hal HaGadol, which was that they said Hoidu Lelekei Hu Elekim, Ki Lo'olam Chazdai, and the reason why they said that what's called Hal HaGadol is because it says in their Nation Lechem Chabasar, he gives food, he gives bread to all living things, as the Gemara tells in the end, in Pesachim Nef Kofit Chesem et al. Now, the Gemara asked on this incident, B'nema Halol Mi'kara, they should first say Hal, and then eat. Let them first say thanks to Hashem, and then eat. Why they eat, and then say Hal? So Abaye and Rav Adam and Tavai, they both say, Lefisha ain't Eim Hal, because we do not say Hal, and we continue on top of Chavav Man Aleph, Elal Nefesh, Seveya Bekeres Malaya, only on a satiated soul and the full stomach. And that's because it says, Nation Lechem L'chol Basar, that it gives bread to all living things. It's more fitting that when you finally have that bread and that food and you're satiated, to then say Hal. Now that thing we're asked, in is that really so? But Varapapa, Iklebe Kanisha da Abi Gaiver, Papa went to the shul of Abi Gaiver, either that's the name of a person or of a place, because of tightness and decreed a fast, the Yardlam Gusham Atchasais, and the rain came before noon. So Va'amahal, he said Hal, Va'achachachal Vashas, and only then did they eat and drink. But didn't we just say you should eat and drink and then say Hal? So the Gemara says, Shan Debene Mechayza, the people of Mechayza, which was the place over there, the Shechicha Beishechas, where it was common for them to get intoxicated, inebriated, they drink wine and hard liquor, and therefore maybe they're going to be negligent after they eat, because they're going to be drunk, and they're not going to say Hal, and therefore he felt that it was more fitting, although there is a component of being satiated, and then saying Hal, first say Hal, and then let them go home and eat and drink. Hanulach Seder Tainus Elu, we shall return to you, the third parak of Masechtas Tainus, parak Seder Tainus Elu.